The last couple of weeks we've begun to learn Tanakh b'Chabura. The last couple of weeks it was in the context of preparing for Yom Ha'Ra'im, learning Yonah, and seeing what Yonah could teach us to use in our own preparation for Yemei HaRachamim. If there's interest, perhaps we'll continue after Yom Tov as well. But I thought perhaps that gives us, getting into the zone of learning Tanakh maybe gives us a unique angle. A unique perspective on learning the Machzor. Maybe we could, in the final segment of tonight's three-way Machzor Shir, we could fuse those two modalities of a Tanakh Shir and a Machzor Shir. And to spend the last couple minutes we have together looking at three of the critical prakim that lie at the center of the Rosh Hashanah Machzor. The Rav opened with a focus on the critical psukim that Chazal demand of us, the Machzor, Zechronos, and Shofros. I want to end the evening by looking at three larger chunks that really define, in many ways, stand at the core of the Machzor. But before we get to Pirkei Tanakh and what is in the Machzor, I want to open by thinking what's not in the Machzor. There's something, a Rosh Hashanah riddle, if you will. There's something missing. There's something that appears before Rosh Hashanah, in great amounts, after Rosh Hashanah in even greater amounts, but strangely, Rosh Hashanah itself is entirely devoid of this. What do you have before Rosh Hashanah and after Rosh Hashanah, but not on Rosh Hashanah? Yud Gimel Midos. How? Well, Slichos, Vidui. At the heart of what always comes together, what follows Yud Gimel Midos, like follows Yud Gimel Midos and forms the close in many ways of the slichas. There's no vidui. We talk about tshuva. These are days of tshuva. There's no vidui. What happened? No asham no bagan. Here and there, avinu makenu chatan l'fanecha. It's a yom tov. It's true. Rosh Hashanah is yom tov. Yom Kippur is yom tov as well. Okay, so you might say Yom Kippur needs it. So Rosh Hashanah doesn't need it. Rosh Hashanah is different than Yom Kippur. How? Why? What? It seems so odd. This is the day, Rosh Hashanah is the day when we're beginning to fold. The din is unfolding right now. The din is unfolding in the course of Rosh Hashanah, and it's going to continue into Yom Kippur. This is unfolding over the course of Rosh Hashanah, and we're not copying Al-Chet. How come? Let's hold on to that question. While we turn our attention to a parak of Tehillim, that this year we blow shofar both days, and therefore this year we're going to recite this parak of Tehillim 14 times over the course of Rosh Hashanah. Tehillim Mem Zayin, La Menatzeach V'Nekorach Mizmar. When do we ever say a parak of Tehillim 7 times in a row? The Matzah Ephraim is one of the classic Sifri Halacha and the Halachas of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, Sukkos, and Rav Brat. Ephraim Zalman, and in the Siman Tavkuf Pehe, he speaks of the first Siman about shofars. He speaks about centuries-old minhagim to make all sorts of hachanas for tkiyah shofar. He speaks of particular hachanas in some communities, the tokea and the bal tefila and the makri would step out and make their own hachanas, then they would come back. Meanwhile, everyone else was Davin, was saying Tillim, was focusing on Kavanas, different sorts of Hachanas that different communities had. And he puts at the center of all of this Lamnatzeh Nekorach Mizmar. That Tehillim Mem Zayin, the very central, very highlighted Hachana for the Tkiyah Shofar. So what's it all about? So you look at, you open up, if you can open up the Machzor to day one or to day two, this Mizmar, what jumps at you right away, clearly we're talking about, there's plenty of discussion in this Mizmar about Malchus Hashem, again and again and again. We hear about Malchus Hashem. Clearly we hear about Malchus Hashem in the context of Kol Shofar and Trua. And we hear a lot about Malchus Hashem for the entire world. Malchus Hashem al Kol Ha'aretz. Malchus Hashem for all the Amim, for all the nations. Now, when is this being said? Because the Mizmor sounds like it's describing an event, a historical event that's happening at some point. The nations are reaching out. When? What time period? So Ibn Ezra in Tehillim, Perek Mem Zayin. So he says there are different approaches. He says some understood this was at the time of Galus Bavel, perhaps leaving Galus Bavel to build the second Beis HaMikdash. And some understood this describes David HaMelech in his, you know, as he's preparing for the construction of the first Beis HaMikdash. But Ibn Ezra says the truth is he thinks that this is a reference to Imos HaMashiach. And the Radak as well says it's talking about Imos HaMashiach. Because if you look at the Mizmor, so what does it talk about? So the Malbim sort of unpacks in greater detail what the Rishonim are already pointing to. They say, you know, the way the Malbim looks at it, world history is in part a history of war, a history of many wars. Sometimes wars are caused by religious differences. Sometimes wars are caused by ego. And who's in charge, and me Barosh, and who's going to be... Who's ego and who's going to have political power? Lasid Lavo, the Mizmor describes, Kol Avim Tikku Kaf. This Mizmor is describing a time in the world history when all the nations hold hands. Kol Avim Tikku Kaf, they're playing words, it's Kia. But Tikku Kaf, all the nations are holding hands. Reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rallying around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why? Ki Hashem El Yon Nora. Melech Gadol HaKol Haaretz. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a supreme God, an awesome God, and at the same time, is a great king of the entire world. So the Malbim suggests, Hashem Elyon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is supreme God, transcendent God over the ruling the entire universe. And at the same time, Nora, if he's awesome, if he inspires awe, that means he relates to me. He's not only out there, but he's also here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's transcendent and is also intimate and imminent and impacts me. So the first half of the pasuk captures that there's going to be a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will put that will end the religious differences that drive war. And in terms of the politics and the desire for power, Melech Gadol HaKol Haaretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be clearly, self-evidently the real ruler of the universe. And where? Because Yivchar lanu es nachal aseinu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make Yerushalayim, ki mitzion teitzei Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make Yerushalayim the obvious epicenter of the universe, the obvious center of the world, where the Rav Shechter describes in the Bikvei Atzon, that even in a halachic sense, Yerushalayim has two different faces to it. Yerushalayim is meant to be the spiritual capital, the Makom HaMikdash, it's meant to be the political center of Eretz Yisrael. Malchus Beis David is supposed to be Al Pidin headquartered in Yerushalayim. And Yivchar Lanu es Nachal Aseinu, both. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things will come back to Yerushalayim in a way that will make it clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is God, and that will make it clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And both aspects, both drivers of war will just fade away. And then the Pesukim can go on to talk about how the nations will coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what the hamlacha, international hamlacha, will look like. Alalokim bisrua, zamalokim zameiru. And then the final two Pesukim describe, after the initial event of being mamlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what it will be like when HaKadosh, ongoing reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being recognized. Malach HaKim al-Goyim, and so on and so forth. Everyone gathered, continuing to rally around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this parak with which we prepare for shofar, again and again and again, a description of what? A description of when? Imos HaMashiach. A description of La'asid level. What it's going to be like in the future. Which is really remarkable. That's the hachana for shofar, the central hachana for shofar is to talk about Mashiach. Yes, Mashiach is a theme. But that's the central theme that we say not once, not twice, not three times, seven times. Fascinating. Couldn't have picked another parak until we talked about shofar. Couldn't have picked another parak until we talked about Malchus Shemayim. And then there's a second parak. The Gemara tells us, stepping back from Tehillim Mem Zayin, a minig of centuries, to a Gemara. The Gemara tells the end of Maseches Megillah, the Chazal mandate, the Haftar of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, is the 31st parak of Yirmiyahu. Kromar Hashem Matzachim Bamidbar, building up to Ben Yakir Le'Ephraim. Zachar ez kirenu od. And why is that the haftar for the second day of Rosh Hashanah? Gemara says it is. And why? The Beis Yosef quotes the Ran. Well, the closing pasuk, Ben Yakir Le'Ephraim. Zichronos. Zachar es kirenu od. Zichronos. So that explains the end, but that's not a one pasuk haftar. It's not a two pasuk haftar. So why do we start from the beginning of the Perek Lamed Alf? Now the truth is, if you open up a Sefer Yirmiyahu, this is Perek Lamed Alf 31. So the chaf prakim, the 20s, were largely a nevuos that Yirmiyahu is delivering to the final set of kings of the Jewish people, the very end, in the years and decades that lead up to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Speaking to this king and that king, he's telling them that you're sinning and you're doing Averis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he was not a very popular figure. He gets thrown into jail. It's not pretty. And that leads us up to Perek Chavtes. All of a sudden, Perek Lamed, the tone changes. And the Perek Lamed opens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu, I have some nevuos for you, you should write them down. Write them down. So Malbim says, yeah, because what's about to follow is a series of positive nevuos. Not for then. This is before Beis HaMikdash is destruction of Beis HaMikdash is looming large. We're in crisis mode. Things are falling apart. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu, but there are positive nevuos also. Put them in your pocket. Write them down. And the Jews will access them in the future, when they begin to be mitgashem, when they begin to be realized. And the second of those prakim, of those positive prakim, Yirmiyahu is told in advance of Churban, write this down. This will yet come. Perek Lamed Alef is the haftar for the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and he describes. We know these psukim, and if you'd like, you feel free to turn the pages in the Machzor to the second day, to the laning of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Matzah chen ba midbar. Kalal Yisrael are finding chen. We're renewing our relationship. We're finding a positive relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, charm with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the midbar. Why are we in the desert? When are we in the desert? So Malbim says, yeah, because the beginning of Yirmiyahu, lech techachar ba midbar, old star in the desert, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us into Eretz Yisrael. Now we're back in the desert. Desert metaphorically meaning We're on the outs. We're in Galus. We feel far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yirmiyahu says, yeah, but you're out in Galus and things are falling apart and life seems upside down on a personal level. Life seems upside down on a national level, on a universal, a world level. And out in the Midbar, out in the desert, Matzachin, there's going to be a renewal of the relationship. Just last night, we were singing that Ahavas Olam Avtich, Akeim Meshachti Chosed. That's the second pasuk in the Haftarah of day two of Rosh Hashanah. Ahavas Olam Avtich. What does that mean? Ahavas Olam? A love of the world? So Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer on Nevi'im Miksufim points out, Olam means forever in all times, and Olam means in all places. He actually points to a mission in the first parak of Chulin, talks in a halachic context, a technical context, that you can shech li Olam. The mission is you can shech during the day, you can shech at night, you can shech in this place, on the rooftop, you can shech on the deck of a boat. Li Olam means every when and every where. Ahavas Olam Ahavtich, Yirmiyahu says, you're out in the midbar, and it's a time of galus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the love never stops. There's no time in history when the love stops. There's no time in my life, my personal life trajectory, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets go of me. I don't always see him. I don't always feel it. But the love is there. And there's no place. We're in Eretz Yisrael. We're out of Eretz Yisrael. We're a Jew is in Siberia. Avas Olam Ahavtich. And then Yirmiyahu begins to unfold from the place of Gullus, what Geula will look like. And a shining nevuah that brings us to Rachel Mavaka Abaneh, that brings HaBen Yakir Ephraim. It's a description. The Haftar of the second day of Rosh Hashanah is once again like that Mizmar Mem Zayin, with which we introduce Shofar. It's largely a description of Geula. A description of Geula Asida. So Yemosa Mashiach, again and again. Yemosa Mashiach to prepare for Shofar. Yemosa Mashiach is a haftar for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. What's it all about? Again, Yemosa Mashiach is an important part of our history. But why is that such a dominant theme in Rosh Hashanah? Why is that a hachana for Shofar? probably there are probably many, many layers to the answer, but I want to talk about one. Both of these prakim of Nach are forcing us to look forward. To look forward and to look only forward. It's all about the future. You could almost say that Rosh Hashanah, when there's no vidui, there's no looking back. Leading up to Rosh Hashanah, there's a lot of looking back. There's a lot of Hashamnu Bagadnu. And through Aseret Yemei Teshuva beyond Rosh Hashanah, there's a lot of Hashamnu Bagadnu and climax in Yom Kippur. But Rosh Hashanah, we take a break from the vidui. It's all forward looking. It's almost like Rosh Hashanah is like this brief bubble of radical proactivity. It's all about what am I going to do now. The vidui is important, but for Rosh Hashanah, Hamlachas Hashem means what am I going to do now? Here I am, what's tomorrow? Here I am, what's the next step? Action steps. And why? And why? So one could say, to borrow the phrase, the Kasav HaShlishi, we don't yet have a stira, but we looked at two prakim that have a similar theme. The Kasav HaShlishi is the first Haftar of Rosh Hashanah. The story of Chana, the first two prakim of Sefer Shmuel. In Chana, we know it's the before and after. There's Chana in crisis, and then there's Chana in song. And Chana davens twice. There's the Chana's tefillah. We think of Chana's tefillahs when she comes to the Mishkan and Eli wants to know how come Eli misunderstands she must be crying. Eli's not familiar with this modality of quiet tefillah. Our Shmona Esrei, the Gemara tells us, is all every Jewish Shmona Esrei is built on the model of Chana. Chana is the model of quiet tefillah. Quiet tefillah in a time of crisis. But then the Haftarah ends with, after Shmuel is born, the Shiras Chana, but the Psukim don't refer to as Shiras Chana. Vatispal El Chana. Again a tefillah. Two tefillos of Chana. They're very, very different in many ways. They're radically different moods. One is a Bakasha and one is a Shira. And one she's broken and the other she's uplifted. In the first tefillah she focuses on herself. In the second tefillah she's focused on emotional. There's very little discussion about herself. She doesn't really refer to her own situation at all. But they're both, those two tefillos are very different in many ways, but they're both forward-looking. The tefillah in Parak Aleph, she's very focused on telling Kadosh Baruch Hu what she's hoping and praying for the future. And in the second parak, the Shira, the tefillah of Chana about Shmuel, again, she doesn't really talk about Shmuel. She talks about how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And she talks about how Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and a lot of it is, here's what I anticipate Kadosh Baruch Hu will do in the future. It's so forward-looking, the entire Haftarah. It's always about the next step. So Rav Yigal Ariel, in his fascinating set of Svarim on a number of Sifrei Tanakh, Rav Yigal Ariel is one of the leading Rabbanim of the Midrashat HaGolan in Chispin, very, very charming and provocative Svarim on Tanakh. So at the beginning of his Sefer Oz Melech and Sefer Shmuel, so he points out that when you think about Shmuel and the origin of Shmuel, the birth of Shmuel Naftara, so he reminds you a lot of the origin of a figure, a different Jewish leader in Sefer Shoftim. And not just because Shimshon and Shmuel both start with a Shin, but both of them were born to women, to parents who were struggling with infertility. And in both cases, there's this idea, even before he's born, of his being a Nazir. In both cases, there's they're meant to play a key role in moving the needle in terms of the domination of the Plishtim over the Jews. Shimshon is the one who begins to push back against the Plishtim, and the Shmuel is the one who's going to complete that. He's going to be carnate Shaul and later David. He's going to complete that process that in a certain sense Shimshon began. And yet they're so similar, but they're so radically different. Not only because their lives end in very, very different ways, but even from the outset, so different? Because the story of Shimshon just sort of falls in the lap of Shimshon's mother, whoever she is exactly. Eshes Mono, even though her name is. She doesn't really do much. The Malach comes and tells her, you're going to have a child. The Malach comes and tells her, he's going to be a Nazir. They bring a carbon eventually, but only as a thank you when it's all over. They're entirely passive. Chana is just the opposite. She's driving everything. Elkanah, Eli, Chana says, we're going to do something about this. I'm going to daven. I'm going to Mishkan, and I'm going to reach out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to reach out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm going to make this happen. The tefillah comes from her, and the Nenah Naziris comes from her, and the Karbanos are, and even in terms of the larger family, Elkanah's already very engaged in Karbanos and bringing Jews to Karbanos according to Chazal from beforehand. They're similar, but the radical difference in terms of, are they passive recipients of whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan is? Or are they actively engaged in Elkanah, and particularly Chana, in reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that's what you see in her tefillos. So in her first tefillah, she's reaching out, this is what I want, Ribbono Shel Olam. In the second tefillah, it's no longer about her, but it's a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. That's the primary theme of her second tefillah. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moresh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that. He's the driver of change on the national level, on the cosmic level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the driver of change on the personal level. But there's no loss of agency. But it moves instead from asking for things to figuring out, so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the universe, so then where do I fit in? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in charge of the universe, so then Ratzon Hashem is the most significant thing in the world. And sometimes it's going to be very obvious what I can do to further Ratzon Hashem. Sometimes it's going to be very mysterious, sometimes baffling. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do? It's a confusing situation. It's a painful situation. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do? But that's the primary message of Chana and of Chana's second tefillah. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the world, and where do I fit in? It's active. It's here I am, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and what's the next step? That's what emerges from these three sections of Tanakh that lie at the core of our machzah. The haftar of the first day, the haftar of the second day, and Lamatzeach and Levnekarach Mizmar, it's all about what's the next step? What's the next step? What's Rasul HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge, and where do I fit in, and how do I act? It's forward-looking. It's proactively reaching out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the future, as Chana does in her first tefillah, and it's dedicating ourselves to the mission of making a Ratzon Hashem a reality. That's what Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim really is about. Figuring out how I'm meant to live in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to. And that's in a deep sense, that's Hamlachas Hashem. It's an energizing Hamlachas Hashem. Not just an abstract fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Yes, that's true. And therefore what? Here I am right now. Rosh Hashanah is not a day for vidui. There will be days for vidui beforehand, and there'll be days for vidui afterwards. But Rosh Hashanah is the day to say, here I am, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and now what? What do I do next? An energizing hamlacha, finding my place in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, investing myself in realizing Ratzon Hashem, may we talk of bizocha, to be mamlech Hashem, may we talk of bizocha, to a year in which we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu leadership of the world. We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's management of the world. May it be a year in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness is revealed to us. And may a year in which Kol Ma'ida Avid Rachman L'Tav Avid is in a way that's clear and self-evident, in a way that we're able to appreciate its sweetness in the moment.